Hey, what's up? What's up? It's your man Sam, host of Just Talk with Sam podcast. Just Talk with Sam podcast. Man, we got a great show for you guys. One of my favorite shows of the year. We were privileged to be invited back to go to, you saw the title, Motor City Comic Con 2017. And out of all the cons we've been invited to, and out of all the cons we've been to, I must say this is one of the best on a personal level. Not just because of all the cool cosplay and all the stuff that we're about to recap in a few moments. One of the coolest things is, I got a chance to talk to, like, some of my favorite artists. And this podcast, I'm going to talk to, I mean, it's going to sound cliche, but these, I've been reading comics for a while, and these are the people who shaped it. We talked with Annie Landon, we talked to Chris Burnham, we talked with Daryl Banks, we talked with Gus Vasquez, and lastly, and certainly not leastly, Miss Nicola Scott. We won't get into that in this podcast in just a few minutes, but first, gotta pay some bills. Hey, first off, your home for everything relating to the Just Talk with Sam podcast can be found at the website samshownation.com. Samshownation.com. Your home for everything revolving around the Just Talk with Sam podcast. Right there on the homepage, your current promotions page, there is a donate button. Please hit that donate button and give whatever makes you feel like a good person. Because whatever you give, we put right back into this podcast to make it a bigger, better, greater podcast. Bigger, better, stronger, faster. Everything you do, we put it right back into this podcast. And hey, give whatever makes you feel like a good person. But maybe you want to show off your love. You can always go to samshownation.com. You can hit the store link. And by hitting that store link, you get all your Just Talking with Sam podcast swag, whether that be stickers, t-shirts, hats, whatever that you want to take into your daily world and show the world and show off one of your favorite podcasts. You can do that by going to the store. It is the second best way to support this podcast. Speaking of the podcast, you can always go to samshownation.com. You get that podcast link, and you could go through the library. You can listen to every podcast we've ever put. It's right there. Well, most of them anyway are right there. And if you don't want to go there, however you listen to podcasts, we're currently on Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, iTunes, good old RSS. Pretty much, if it hooks up to the internet and has sound come out of it, Just Talk with Sam podcast is right there. And please tell someone about the podcast. That is the best way to spread the word of this podcast. It's the best way to help out this podcast. First sponsor is good folks at booking.com via samshownation.com. Right there on the current promotions page of samshownation.com, you can hit that booking.com link. But booking.com guarantees the best price of any type for any type of property, from apartments, boats, castles, tree houses, villas, yurts. The type of accommodation listed on Booking.com today is more diverse than ever. Truly international, Booking.com is available in more than 42 languages and offers over a million properties in 224 countries. And that's no hyperbole right there. Booking.com never has booking fees or offer fee cancellations on most rooms, and Booking.com operates on its own in-house customer service team, which is available 24/7, 365 to assist their guests in their native language and ensure exceptional customer service. You want to go to samshownation.com. Look, we're getting around that time where vacations are starting to pop up, and you want to take care of yourself. Ask yourself these questions. Why at booking.com, at samshownation.com? You can get unique, direct, long-term relationship with over a million accommodations worldwide. Best rate guarantee, best room selection and availability, and number one travel site and customer satisfaction by JD Powers. And did I mention they're available 24/7, 365? It's all right there. And the only thing we ask you to do is go to samshownation.com, click that link, and book your next vacation right there with the good folks at booking.com via Sam Show Nation. Right there on the current promotions page, booking.com. Next sponsor is the good folks from the Chicago Steak Company. Yes, the Chicago Steak Company knows that Father's Day is right around the corner, and they want to give the perfect Father's Day gift for the grill master in your life. So please give the perfect gift for Father's Day with some aged steaks from the Chicago Steak Company. Plus, if you order today, we'll throw in the special order. The Sam Show Nation offer, they'll show Dad, who is the master of the grill, by sending along the Grill Master Chef apron, 4 steak burgers, and a bottle of their signature steak seasoning on all orders over $99. Use the promo code DADSDAY at checkout. But go to SamShowNation.com and you click the Chicago Steak Company right there in the lower right hand corner, and you can get all of that with the special gift for putting in the offer code DADSDAY with an S, DADSDAY, at checkout. Next sponsor is the good folks at Walmart. Walmart wants you to celebrate the grads and give the great gifts for their next adventure. Right there at Walmart.com via SamShowNation.com. Go to SamShowNation.com on the current promotions page. Click the Walmart link and you can celebrate your class of 2017 by getting them something they're going to need as they go into the next chapter of their life. They may have a few things like personalized gifts, jewelry, watches, electronics, party supplies, stuff they're going to need for the dorm room. Look, it's graduation, but you want to say congratulations, but you want to get them right for the next phase of their life. And Walmart got you covered. You can go ahead and you can do it that day. Or here's something you can do. When you go to SamShowNation.com, you click that Walmart link, you can pick it up at your friendly neighborhood Walmart right there that day. At checkout, you just put it in your local store, you can pick it up as soon as that day. You can walk in there, you can order it right there off the website, you can walk in there. Personally, I've done it, and I've not spent 10 minutes in Walmart. I get a chance to see my boy DeMarco, who just recently got that promotion. What's up, DeMarco? And by doing that, you can go ahead, you say what's up, they scan your phone, and you're out of there. Or any order over $50, you get free shipping, and on top of that, free 2-day shipping on top of that. So you don't even have to leave your house. It'll be there in 2 days. So please celebrate the grads and give them the gifts that they will need to celebrate them the right way at Walmart.com via SamShowNation.com. And last and certainly not least, the granddaddy of them all, Amazon. Yes, Amazon has everything from A to Z. And right there at SamShowNation.com on the homepage or current promotions page, you can click that banner, the Amazon banner. You can shop as you normally would. Look, Amazon has everything. I mean, they got it all. And a lot of the stuff that you're probably going to get anyway. Like, they got movies via Prime. Maybe you want to get some Star Wars stuff. Maybe you want to get ready for the great outdoors. Maybe you want to pre-order Tekken 7. You could get Eliza as a bonus downloadable character only available on Amazon. They got you covered. Or, I talked about Father's Day previously. They got every gift that a dad could want right there at Amazon.com. Only thing we ask you to do, hit that banner on the homepage and current promotions page of SamShowNation.com. Alright, so that's enough of my rambling. What we're going to do, we'll get into this podcast. We're going to talk a little bit about the Motor City Comic Con 2017. And I will see you guys in about 90 seconds. This is Just Talk with Sam Podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam Podcast. Just put your name on it. You don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this till like right now. Seriously.
Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious. If y'all just listen, we never write this out.
All right, we are back. Comic-Con 2017, the MC3 Motor City Comic-Con 2017. Man, this was a great con. I mean, right there where it always is. But I said in the intro, like, the cosplayers were awesome this year. You got a chance to see Michael Rooker from Guardians of the Galaxy. He had a Q&A to kick this thing off. Pretty much anybody who asked a question, he was pretty upfront with it, and he pretty much shut it down. Anything you want to ask Michael Rooker? This was the 30th anniversary for Weird Science. And Kelly LeBrock, Anthony Michael Hall, they were there. They were working the con. I mean, it was just an all-round good experience for everyone, including myself. I even got a chance to meet one of my childhood wrestling idols, Vader. I mean, who? It's time! It's Vader! Time! You got to pause with that, with Vader. And then another thing, going to this con, and I say this a lot during this, I got a chance to meet five of my favorite people, and sit down and have an interview with them. Andy Lanning, people know him from pretty much the galactic scene in Marvel. Now, you may want to think Nova, Guardians of the Galaxy, pretty much if it was in space, he probably had something to do with it. So, Andy Lanning is very well known for his writing and Battlestar Galactica, and it was just perfect when I got a chance to sit down and meet him. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a pause. You're going to see the interview that I have with Andy Lanning. You can hit him up on Twitter at, you guessed it, Andy Lanning. And so, here, without further ado, here's the interview that we did at Comic-Con with Andy Lanning.
Whenever you are, I'm ready.
Andy Lanning, thank you for giving us a few moments of your time. I know you're very busy. How are you enjoying the con so far?
The con's going great, thank you. Extremely busy, but meeting a lot of cool people. First time I've done the Motor City Con after being invited about five times. This is the first time I've been able to get out here, and I'm really pleased I did. It's great.
Hey, I fell in love with your writing since Annihilation. That's really when I like jumped in, and then Nova, and then sister to the gigantic Guardians of the Galaxy. How does it feel seeing a lot of your creations now on the big screen?
It's fantastic. I think if you ask any comic creator what they would say is like one of the pinnacles of their career, I think it would be having work and characters that you've worked on in the comic books appear in a movie, in a TV, on the TV screen, anything like that. It's just a privilege and honor to see those characters on the screen, and even more so, they're very, very good films as well. I think I would be predisposed to like them even if they weren't. But it's really good and reassuring that they are actually really good films, and everyone's enjoying them. And who would have thought 5 years ago that everyone across the planet would know who Rocket Raccoon and Groot were?
Yeah, really. I mean, like, because Guardians of the Galaxy was one of those books where it was just kind of like you had to be super deep into the Marvel canon to recognize them, and now they're household names, and that had to feel good. Like, you mentioned Rocket Raccoon, but any other characters I think you're most proudest to see on the big screen?
I was really, really pleased to see Mantis up there on in the latest version, especially the way the actress performed her, because she was really kooky and slightly surreal, which I've always felt Mantis was, that slightly unearthly character. So yeah, seeing her come up on there was fantastic. And for my own personal sort of like joy, deep joy, was seeing Cosmo appear in the first one, even as a little tiny cameo, because I created Cosmo based on my golden Labrador we had when I was a kid.
Aww.
So it's like fantastic to see that character appear.
Well, with the explosion of Marvel's, I guess, cosmic scene growing up. I mean, and you were kind of chief behind that. Is it anybody else that you would like to see, or any more of your ideas on a bigger platform?
Well, I think that latest version of Guardians Volume 2, there were enough Easter eggs in there to satisfy even the most ardent fanboy out there, which I guess I would put myself at the top of that list. So seeing, you know, a version of the original Guardians turn up, Charlie 27 and Starhawk, as well as, and this is one that really, you know, made me squee with delight, was the potential of Adam Warlock appearing within the Marvel Universe is just absolutely fantastic.
Alright, and hey, I don't know if anyone noticed, but from your voice, you're from the UK. and you've done a lot with Marvel UK. Is there a difference between Marvel UK and Marvel US, or is it just kind of all the same thing?
Well, there used to be a difference, because there used to be an actual Marvel UK office in London. So we had our own own version of the bullpen there, with artists and writers and letterers working in the in-house in the offices. Unfortunately, that disappeared in the 90s, so it's not there anymore. So it is all one thing now, but even then we consider ourselves part of Marvel, and we were, you know, the comics we were doing were being published by Marvel in America as well, so it was a great opportunity for a lot of British talent who are now actually working in the industry now, who cut their teeth at Marvel UK. People like Liam Sharp, Dougie Braithwaite, Brian Hitch, Gary Frank, they all started at Marvel UK.
Now, I got two more questions. I'm going to leave you alone.
2 seconds. Do you want me to quickly sign something?
Well, this is the signature for this, and okay. When you're done with that drawing, you know.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I just got this yesterday.
There we go.
All right, two more questions, and I get out of here, I guess. Hey, how did you get involved with Battlestar Galactica? I know you're in the cosmic world, but where did that come from? It's such a great franchise, and then you jump it from one franchise to another great franchise. How did that come about?
Okay, so Nick Birucci, who runs Dynamite Comics. I've wanted to work with Nick for a long time. I've known him for a very long time, and he's thrown various books at me to work with him on, and for one reason or another, schedules didn't line up. But when he said Battlestar Galactica, I was actually able to juggle the schedule to make it work, because it was one of those things that I grew up watching on the TV, and I'm a huge fan, particularly of the original series, but then obviously of the relaunch series, the reimagined version of it. So when Nick asked me if we wanted to do that, made sure that I had enough room in the schedule to do it. So it was a great privilege and pleasure. Same as with Guardians, you're getting to work with characters and tell stories in story worlds that you grew up being part of as a fan reading, and then you actually get to add stories to that world. It's brilliant. It's fantastic.
And lastly, and I'll get out of your way, this summer you're doing the Heroes for Hire later on this year, and Heroes for Hire is more of the Marvel Street team, and we're seeing a lot of the Marvel Street guys, but you're more of the space dude, for lack of a better term. I mean, how would you bring that space element to something as concrete, no pun intended, as, like, you know, street level heroes?
So, not a lot of people know this, to do my best Michael Caine impression, but when I first started working for Marvel in the US, the first book I wrote was Punisher. Wrote the Punisher for over 3 years, so we've had a connection with the Marvel Street Heroes from very, very early on. That was back in the 90s. So it was only, you know, after doing that we got involved with things like the Avengers, and then writing the Legion of Superheroes and things like that. But at an absolute solid grounding in writing Marvel Street Heroes. So actually going back and doing Heroes for Hire and Misty Knight and all of those characters was basically going back to my roots, going back to the stuff I actually started and cut my teeth.
Okay. Alright, well, there you go. It's like old hat. Alright, well, Andy Lannon, thank you so much for just giving us a little bit of your time and your genius. Thank you so much. Enjoy the con.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
So there you have it. Busy man, that Andy Lannon. But it was cool to talk to him just for a quick second. Next, one of my guys that I've been rocking with, pretty much since Batman Incorporated. Anyone who remembers that book remembers that this is around the time the Bruce Wayne saga, where Bruce Wayne died and everybody wanted to take the mantle with a bat. My man Chris Berman, he got me with that book. Actually, he's a New York, that made like the New York Times bestseller. But one of the biggest thing that he's done is Officer Down. Officer Down is a grown-up book, more ultra-violent, but think more violent Judge Dredd to some degree, but it was more like in a real-time thing. I think he would pretty much tell you a little bit more about it. And Officer Down is now on Netflix. We get into that a little bit. You can catch out my man, Chris Burnham. He's on Twitter at TheBurnham. And, well, here's our interview with Chris. We're at Motor City Comic Con with one of my favorite guys, Chris Burnham. Sir, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time, because not only did you make Officer Down, not only did you make Batman Incorporated, I have bought a lot of stuff that you had something to do with, man. But speaking of being Batman Incorporated, how did you get your start at DC?
They were screwed on deadline for Batman and Robin number 16, and Grant asked his buddy Joe Casey who they should get to help fill in, and Joe said, well, you liked the art of Officer Down, why don't you get Burnham to do it? So I drew 7 pages in Batman and Robin 16, and when I was halfway through with those, I just turned in like the first 3 pages. Grant sent me an email, and he said, hey, do you want to come back for a full run on Batman Incorporated this spring? I was like, well, yes, sir. Yes, I do. So it was easy as that, and as impossible as that.
Now, I got to ask you, when you say Grant, we're talking about Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
He is known for putting a lot of obscure references, a lot of crazy things in his writing. What does a Grant Morrison script look like?
It basically looks like anyone else's script, except half the dialogue hasn't been written, so there's just a lot of ellipses. So there's a lot of dot, dot, dots in the script. And the first time I got it, I was like, oh, this is a really weird script. A lot is being left unspoken. I didn't realize until after the fact that, oh, every time he writes dot, 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 that's a full sentence that he just hasn't bothered with writing yet. He's waiting for the art to come in so he can really, you know, tailor the script to the artwork. But for the most part, I mean, it's not like you roll up his scripts and smoke it or anything. It's basically a script like anyone else, only it's harder to draw and it's awesomer when it comes out.
Well, speaking of the thing that, you know, got me into you, Officer Down, and believe it or not, now on Netflix, Officer Down. How does it feel seeing, like, one of your big creations shows up on a major platform like that?
It's amazing. I was there on set when they filmed it. I was there for the premiere, and it never felt real until it was on Netflix, and now I've got Blu-ray sitting on my table. It's like, oh, this is a real thing now. This is actually a part of my life that happened. It's crazy.
Oh, you said you was on set. Did you have like a lot of input with the director, Sean Caron? Because he was able to capture a lot of your visual style in the movie from the book. It was almost seamless, man. How does it feel? Did you have any input or?
Not too much. I mean, my main input was he carried around the graphic novel with him on set. And he would, like, the at the top of the day, you know, every day, an assistant would bring out the comic, and he would hold it open like it was the Bible or something, and it was like he was, every morning he would approach it and do it like, okay, this is what we're doing, look like this in the comic, this is how we're going to do it again, and it was crazy. He was really using that, you know, that and the movie script. He was really, you know, he would direct the movie anew every morning based on the comic. It was awesome.
Alright, and speaking of the comic, like, Kim Coates is in the lead role.
Yeah,
now, I've seen him in Sons of Anarchy, I've seen him in a bunch of stuff he's done. He looks like Down. Like, he looks just like him. I mean, like, what did you think of his performance, his look, this whole thing.
He's amazing. The second I saw him, I was like, oh, shit, this is the guy. Because I'd never seen Sons of Anarchy before he was cast. I was like, who's this guy? Oh, Tig. Oh, this is the guy. He's amazing. And, the first time I ever saw him in real life, he was in costumes. Like, oh, there's my guy. And he had the sunglasses on. I was like, oh, my God, there he is. It was spectacular. And in real life, he's such a nice guy. But once he puts those sunglasses on, he is a force. Like, he is an imposing force. And when he was on set, like, he almost became the director because everyone just had to listen to him. Because you just
down. Yeah. Of course you're going to listen to him.
Yeah, you just look at that guy. You will do as you're told.
Anybody else in the cast blew your mind of how they looked as close to the book or anybody? Or is this the whole thing?
Oh, well, Lord Velez, because I've seen most of Dexter, and watching her, she's like, oh, like, that's not how I pictured whatever the chief's name is. Because in the comic, the chief's like a bald black dude, and she's a Hispanic woman. But it's just like, she's great. And also, I mean, just seeing the lady from Dexter, you know, in my movie, it's like, this is crazy. Yeah.
Oh, man, but hey, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time. Enjoy the rest of the con, Chris.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
All right, that was Chris Burnham. You can hit him up on Twitter at TheBurnham, all one word. And please, check out Officer Down on Netflix, man. It's a good watch. I'm pretty sure if you were a fan of Kim Coates or Sons of Anarchy or things of that nature, I think you'll really gravitate to that. But moving right along, my man Daryl Banks. Daryl Banks is solely responsible for bringing one of my favorite characters, and that is Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern. Like, Kyle Rayner was... He's done other people, but that's the one that resonated with me the most. He brought in Kyle Rayner in the Green Lantern world, Parallax, Ion, different characters that way. But he's also known for a lot of team-ups with Ryan Mars. He's done some stuff with Wild Wild West, Doc Savage, and I understand that this interview that I'm going to do with him is Kyle Rayner and Green Lantern heavy, mainly because that's my guy. I mean, like, that's where I fell in love with his work, and I'm gushing over him a lot. So without further ado, here's my man Daryl Banks. He can be reached at The Real Bankster on the Twitter. And here's our interview at Motor City Comic Con with my man Daryl Banks.
We're here at Motor City Comic Con talking to one of my favorite artists, Mr. Daryl Banks, mainly because you gave us Kyle Rayner. Well, you had a hand in giving us Kyle Rayner, man. And, dude, I gotta say, not only just Kyle Rayner, Ion, Parallax, and one of the best villains that should have been bigger, Nero. Like, I love those guys because there was a practicality to each character. Did you have something to do with that, or that?
Most of them, they were my designs. Now, with Nero, he was pretty much spelled out pretty much by the writer, who's also an artist himself. But especially now with Parallax, yeah, that was my design, and I gave him that name also, because originally DC was going to call him the Protector, but, you know, I talked him into Parallax. So.
Okay.
I don't know how many people know that, but now with Kyle, you know, it surprises me that he has a following to this day, because, you know, keep in mind that was the early mid 90s where gimmicks were the order of the day. You know, a lot of things were here today, gone today. So here we are, 2017, and people are still talking about him. That's I'm deeply honored by that.
Now, one thing I noticed and one thing I loved, I talked about the practicality of Kyle Rayner. He's an artist.
Right.
I mean, like...
It actually was not my idea. That was the writer, Ron Mars, and our editor, Kevin Dooley. That was something they really pushed for. And, of course, I was all for it.
Yeah, for a guy who has the ring that, you know, captures your will and imagination, the artist seemed like a no-brainer.
Right, a perfect combination. And, of course, a lot of the things that Kyle Rayner enjoyed and his hobbies were essentially, that was just me, you know, the anime, the pro wrestling, the whole nine yards, that was me. Matter of fact, his apartment was pretty much the apartment that I lived in at that time, you know, so, you know, he was Kyle Rayner, but it was, let's say, deeply influenced by the guy drawing him.
I gotta ask, man, because that's one of the things, because if you're an artist, I would imagine you put that in there, but what are some of the projects that you've done with Green Lantern, or just overall, that I think you're the most proud of?
Hands down, my favorite project was Green Lantern Silver Surfer, because it was, you know, I haven't done a ton of Marvel stuff, but being able to work with characters such as, you know, Thanos and Terrax, and of course even Galactus on a double page spread, that's the kind of stuff I got into this business to do.
Alright, and lastly, like, I love the Ion storyline. It's one of the best, that because you saw like an annoyed Superman, okay, because essentially he had no purpose anymore because of Ion. I gotta say, will there ever be a crossover Ion Superman team up? Because normally whenever you saw one, they're kind of like beefing with the other.
That's a good question. I mean, currently, you know, Green Lantern is actually back to his 90s outfit. He's just a Green Lantern again. So, but who can say? You know, with comics, it's wide open. You know, with fan interest, who knows what influence? You know, fans got to realize that they hold the power. So, if you're interested in seeing a particular character again, let DC know. They'll see what they can do.
All right. Well, Daryl, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time. Enjoy the rest of the con.
You too.
That was Daryl Banks. He could be reached at The Real Bankster on Twitter, so you could check his stuff out. We're going to move on to Gus Vasquez. This man has been around the block when it comes down to comics. He's drawn everyone from both sides of the fence, mostly Marvel. Big Hero 6, Spider-Man, X-Force, Deadpool, you name it. This guy had a hand in it. He's drawn these characters, he brought them to life, and he's working on a lot of cool stuff for film and television. You will be seeing his stuff in the near future. He's working on his own thing with DC, and I get into it a little bit because of his tenure with Marvel. The deal with Gus is, this is the first time I ever met him in person. I've always read his stuff, I just saw his art or saw his name in print. So it was kind of cool first seeing someone where they may or may not have been like the versions of what they have drawn is your favorite version. Like his version, personally, his version of Deadpool, and I love the Civil War and the What If stuff that he did. Don't get me wrong, I love Daryl Banks' version of Green Lantern, but I think I like them both, but distinctive. And my son is like gigging off his stuff with like Agents of Smash and some of the New Mutant, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Alright, but if you want to see more of Gus's art, you can always go to his Facebook page at Gus Vasquez Art, all one word. And here's our interview with Gus. Here it is.
Gus Vasquez, thank you.
Start over, Gus Vasquez.
Gus Vasquez?
Vasquez.
You know what, for the record, I have only been seeing your name in print.
Okay.
So I have been messing it up mentally for years, and sorry, Gus, we'll just stick with Gus, man, because I don't want to mess that up.
That's all right.
Man, you have been very influential because you pretty much drew everyone in the Marvel Universe, whether it been for comic books, trading cards, even music videos to some degree, you've been a part of it, man. I gotta know, I mean, you influenced a lot of people, but who influenced you?
Oh man, I have so many influences. Arthur Adams, Mike Mignola, Jeff Johnson, John Romita, Frank Frazetta. My influences are all over the place.
All right, personally, I came to like really think some of your best work, and where I'm just like, this is like your signature series, like your run on Spider-Man.
Oh.
So that's where I like really fell in love with your work.
Thanks.
And I was just kind of like, hey, mainly because Spider-Man deals with everyone else. So I guess that has a take on it. Did you have a favorite storyline or something during that run?
No, I think my favorite that I did was the What If Back in Black. That was a lot of fun. Mostly, I mean, Spider-Man in general, I got into the industry because of Spider-Man. That's who I wanted to draw. So being able to draw him in any capacity was great. But the fact that that I was able to work on something like the Back in Black, which was their big summer event, you know, and have a different take on that storyline was awesome. We got to draw him in the black costume, you know, it was a lot of fun. And him killing the Kingpin in that story is kind of crazy. So
I mean, like, with comics in general, or nerd culture, geek culture, stepped into this new realm of where we are now, I mean, what do you think is, like, some of the most challenging for artists coming up now? Because it's so widespread.
In terms of what?
Just comics, nerd culture. Because it's so widespread, what are some of the newer challenges that most artists have to face?
You know, I think it really depends on what they want to do. Like, if they want to get into mainstream comics like Marvel and DC, you know, Dark Horse, Image, stuff like that, there's so much competition, and they just really, really have to be amazing, because they're getting talent from around the world. I mean, you got guys in Thailand, in Brazil, in Mexico, like India. There's artists everywhere that they're pulling talent from. But I actually think it's kind of easier at this point, because you have things like Kickstarter and GoFundMe and platforms where artists and writers and, you know, comic creators in general can put out content. Printing's cheaper, you know, with the internet and Instagram and Facebook and all that, you can get the word out better. So I actually think it's easier in general for comic creators to put out content. I think the hardest part is if you want to get into a major publisher.
Okay, cool. And I gotta ask, major fan of yourself, and fun fact, your cousin, because your cousin, those who don't know, Rosario Dawson is your cousin.
She's my niece.
She's your niece?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we're close in age. Most people think that she's my cousin, but she's actually my sister's kid.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, she's killing the Marvel Universe. Any family team-ups coming up or anything like that? Or does she hit you up for notes like, should I do this or should I do that?
Yeah, she'll call me. Anytime she has a question, or anytime, you know, there's a fun fact that she wants to know or whatever, or even just a piece of advice, she'll definitely call me. She'll, oh, what do you know about this? You know, and she'll, hey, uncle, so, you know, I'm doing this thing, blah, blah, blah. Like, what can you tell me about it? Or, you know, like, what book should I go pick up? You know, stuff like that. She definitely, like, calls me for stuff like that.
Okay. And one thing we've seen, especially with the explosion, we're talking about how big it's gotten, you're starting to see a lot of your characters that you had a part in on the big screen. What was something I think you took, what is that you took the most pride in, seeing it on a major format or something like that?
No question, Big Hero 6. You know, the first book I ever did as a full issue for Marvel was Sunfire and Big Hero 6. It was a 3-issue series. They let me do the covers and the interiors. You know, wasn't a very well-known book. I mean, even to this day, they're not doing reprints of it, so what's out there is what's out there. And to see my first project that I've ever worked on become not only a Disney film, but an Oscar-winning Disney film, like, it's a big, like, turnaround, but culmination of my entire career. You know, having that book was published in 1998, you know, and to have nearly 20 years later an Oscar-winning film come around and be like, hey, you worked on this, you know, and look at what it's become. I mean, aside from having part of it, it's a great movie, you know, and now they're working on a TV show, and it's just exciting to even just be a part of that.
Oh, man, thanks so much for giving us a little bit of your time. Gus, enjoy the rest of the con, man.
Man, I appreciate it. Take care.
Once again, that was Gus Vasquez. Please check his stuff out at the Facebook page, Gus Vasquez Art. And I'm pretty sure if you got kids or you're in the comics, you've run across this stuff before, especially the newer stuff like Kung Fu Panda. Man, this guy is just, he's everywhere, and this is a great guy to meet, and I love seeing his stuff, but I need to move on. I could feel like I could talk to him for a while, but speaking of someone I could talk to for a while, this is a person that, Nicola Scott. Let's just start right here. Like, my wife got into Nicola Scott because of her run on Wonder Woman. And this was one of the things that got Tasha back in the comic books. And I like it too. Don't get me wrong, for the New 52, that was all her. But what I really fell in love with her work was the Teen Titans. And this is, Teen Titans was going on, and this is A lot of stuff that she did with Greg Rucka was cool in Wonder Woman Year One. But I gotta say, Teen Titans, it's like, I can't even rank them. It's like 1A and 1B type of thing. But I got a chance to gush out over her because she's here, she's working the con, and it was cool that I got a chance to be here with Tasha, and we both talked a little bit about Wonder Woman as well as Titans. And, well, here's a little of the interview right now. You can always check her out personally on the Twitter, Nicola Scott Art, and Instagram, also Nicola Scott Art. Here's our interview with Nicola Scott. We're here at Motor City Comic Con talking to one of my favorite artists, Ms. Nicola Scott. Hey, thank you for giving us a little bit of your time, and just how are you enjoying the con so far?
It's great. It's so busy. I'm not used to this with, you know, Australian shows are pretty big, but they're not this big.
Like, I love the work that you're doing with Titans. I said that a little bit before I turned on this mic, but lately, you've been doing some stuff with Wonder Woman. See, my wife's a big one. Well, I am too, but she gravitates a little bit more. I mean, like, is that kind of like a dream job? Because you're super Wonder Woman up.
Yeah, Wonder Woman was the reason why I decided to draw comics in the first place. And she was the first superhero that I ever saw. And she was kind of like my gateway drug to superheroes and comic books in general. And so, you know, I've been wanting to work on a Wonder Woman sort of run before I was working at DC. And I've been wanting to hopefully do an origin story. And Greg and I have been wanting to do an origin story for about 10 years.
Oh.
And so for it to sort of actually happen has been a miracle.
Yeah, because you were really big in the Year One and the launch of the New 52 and all of that stuff. So you actually got a chance to tell that story. And that was like, I've seen it many, many times. It's a dream come true.
Absolutely.
Like, is that how you became working for DC, or is it just kind of like happy accident?
No, I was kind of pursuing DC specifically reasonably aggressively at the beginning of my career. So a lot of the editors were aware of me before I got my job there. And by the time I did, it was kind of that thing of, well, it's time. And, you know, and luckily for me, the right job came along, which was Birds of Prey.
Okay. Before, like, comics as a whole, did you have, like, an interest in art? Or is it just kind of because, like you said, you're from Australia.
Yeah.
So what is that like? Is it just kind of like you don't get all of it, or you get the main characters, or...
Right. There certainly isn't and wasn't in the 70s the same kind of comics culture in Australia that there is here and was here. But we had all the TV shows and the films, so that was my introduction to superheroes and the cartoons. My mother was an artist and my grandmother was an artist, so art was something that I grew up with and I was always drawing. And it was not really a career choice, sort of using art, that I had been thinking about for a long time. I was an actor, that was kind of my career choice and where I put all of my training. And when that industry kind of wasn't working the way I hoped it would, that was when I decided to jump ship and try something else. And, you know, I thought, okay, the other thing that I can do is draw. What can I do with that? And it took me a while to sort of come around to realizing that drawing comics is something that I could do and I could probably do reasonably well.
Well, I'm glad you kind of put that up. Let's shift gears a little bit, because now, you jumped from not so much Wonder Woman to now Red Sonja. And
I was only doing some covers for Red Sonja.
Oh,
it was just, I did a little story. I wrote a little story for Legends of Red Sonja. But for the most part, I was just doing some covers and some designs for Gail Simone when she was on the run.
Well, you just got to answer my question, because I was like, what was your input, or are you going to kind of jump back into that, or are you collaborating?
No, that was always just sort of like a one-stop job. And Wonder Woman, my run on that is done for the moment, and
right.
So my next thing coming out is I'm going back to my creator-owned project that I was working on when Wonder Woman sort of came out of nowhere, which is Black Magic, coming out from Image, which is again with Greg Rucka. So
okay.
It's the same creative team.
Okay, and lastly,
Look, I know it's a lot of hype going around because the Wonder Woman movie's coming out, and there she's everywhere now.
Yeah, 75th anniversary.
Exactly. Then I think Linda Carter had the piece, what was it, a few months ago. Is there any Easter eggs or anything that we're going to see in the movie, or that you know, maybe? That you can say.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say anything. There's a limit to what I know because I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to the premiere on Thursday. But I've been told bits and pieces, and all of it so far has been really reassuring. It seems like tonally they've got it right. It feels like they've got all the characters right. The story seems really right. I love the choice to make it World War One, which kind of came out of nowhere. But when you think about it, all the sort of different points of story that that setting can kind of contribute to the idea of her, it all really works well. And so I think so far there's been nothing that's made me nervous. So I think it's going to be great.
Okay. Well, thank you for just giving us a little bit of your time, Ms. Scott. And enjoy the rest of the con.
That's a pleasure. Thanks.
Once again, that was Nicola Scott. That was our interview with her. She could be reached on Twitter at Nicola Scott Art and Nicola Scott Art on Instagram. Well, that's pretty much as far as our interviews went. I could tell you a little bit about the con and the cosplayers, but I understand this is audio medium. So please check out our Instagram. We put a bunch of pictures up of some of the stuff we were getting into and the hijinks and everything. I just want to thank my guests for this podcast. All of their stuff is here. I want to thank Andy Lannan, Chris Burnham, Daryl Banks, Gus Vasquez, as well as lastly but not leastly Nicola Scott for just giving us a little bit of their time at the con. I mean, they're busy people, but they have influenced a lot of myself as well as everyone else with the con. It was cool. If you go to a con, please reach out to these people as well as more. Go out, shake their hand, and just thank them for their hard work, because they're doing a lot of stuff. They're fueling a lot of imaginations there. And that's pretty cool, man. And just to see these people and shake their hand and say hi and thank you for your work and everything. That was one of the best parts of the Motor City Comic Con this year. And on a personal level with these guys, these are people I've been rocking with since day one. When I saw their work or I saw their stuff, I kind of fell in love with it in one way or another. So thanks to those guys. But that's pretty much it for this podcast this week. If you want to go, you want to follow the podcast, you can always go to samshownation.com, your home for everything revolving around the Just Talk with Sam podcast. I personally can be found on Twitter at samshow11 on Twitter. Instagram and Facebook is Just Talk with Sam. No G in talking, Just Talk with Sam, all one word. And what we'll do, we'll see you guys next week. That was our recap of the Motor City Comic Con 2017. Peace out, guys.